In water. Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Oh, this is getting more and more fascinating by the second. This is the kind of show where Chris and I can kind of just let these guys talk, but there's so many things to try to figure out. We're trying to piece together reports about a possible UFO crash that occurred over 60 years ago. That's not easy. Kevin Randall, Scott Ramsey joining us. The book is The Aztec Incident. That's how it goes. Kevin?
Yes.
You have a response before we continue?
No. My question to Scott had been, when did Scully's book come out? And he said September of 1950. This event took place a few weeks later. It's interesting, but it didn't transpire prior to Scully's book being released. So you've got a bit of a problem there. I've been trying to go through the Martin Sandoval stuff, which we talked about earlier, and I cannot find, and Scott, I've tried to read, and granted, you know, we're having these conversations. I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to read.
Sure.
But I do not understand your claim. Oh, I don't mean to phrase it that way. That's bad phrasing on my part. On Martin Sandoval, I don't see easily, and as I said, you know, I'm trying to do all of this at the same time. It still reads to me as if Sandoval had been spoken to during the course of the way this is written, and I might.
Well, I think the first chapter we're telling the story of what has transpired, what we found in the case. We bring in the different players. Then after that, we go into the next chapter is about Frank Scully, and on and on. Sandoval, it's Manuel Sandoval. He is
that's
mentioned.
What I said, didn't I?
You said Martin, but that's okay. I find it interesting.
My other phone was ringing. I thought it was a friend of mine named Martin who.
Oh, okay, that's fine. There's actually a Martin Sandoval in Cuba. They're all related. All the Sandovals. I have this on disc. I can pull it up, highlight it, and email it to you after tonight. But it's the Johnny Hernandez interview is where I go into detail about it.
In the book?
Yes.
In your book? And he shows up where?
I don't know, Kevin. I got so many things. I basically post-denoted things that I was taking exception to what you said. And I, you know.
Okay. Well, in reading the first chapter, and I understand your narrative construction, but it seems to be suggested here, and again, it's a suggestion that Sandoval had been interviewed at some time because it seems as if he's being quoted. And let me see what I was looking for thing. Doug asked, what should we do? The young officer, whom we have since identified as Manuel Sandoval, explained that he was from the town of Cuba. He told Doug that it finally led him to the Hart Canyon Road. So, I mean, the way this is structured, it seems as if you had interviewed Sandoval, and I'm not the only one that has drawn that conclusion, however erroneous it might have been. And so I guess it's more of a constructional problem with the way the book is written as opposed to anything else and our misreading of what you had said.
Mm-hmm. Manuel Sandoval appears at least twice, if not three times in the book.
Well, as I said, that seems to be, and I hesitate to use the term misleading, but it seems as if you had interviewed,
I go into detail on that with my interview with Johnny Hernandez. You're asking me what page it's on, and like I say, I can't tell you that right now, but I can identify that.
I just asked what chapter it was in.
Okay. I don't know.
Okay. And then did you get documentation that Doug Nolan worked in that area at the proper time?
Yes, and tax records that he had moved down there from Mancos, Colorado. The work in Mancos, which isn't that far, it's just the west side of the. You go north into Colorado, if you bear east, you hit Durango. If you go west, you hit Mancos. And Mancos had been hit pretty hard. And until the dam project, which we talk about later in the book, there was no work up there, and he came down because that was just the beginning of the boom in the oil fields. But, yeah, I've got tax records of where he lived, where he paid his property tax. And there's people alive in Aztec that knew him and remember him real well. Keep in mind, his daughter still lives in Farmington.
Okay.
Which is, you know, 21 miles away.
And what about his wife, this Fred Reed guy?
Yes.
Who sent a letter to the Aztec newspaper in 1999?
He sent it to Deborah Meyer, that's correct.
Well, he'd gone out to the crash site, but he said they'd built stone cairns marking the path from the oil field road to the crash site?
Yes.
That he had been in the OSS in 1948, and that he had come out of Roswell, New Mexico, out of the Roswell base to...
I don't believe he ever mentions that he came out of Roswell, but...
He writes in April 1948, Reed's military team was dispatched for a crash cleanup, as Fred would describe it to me years later in 1999. My only problem is, I'm looking at Jerry Clark's review of your book.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I've got that information. But I've got Reed seeming to be not the most credible of sources.
And why is that?
Because of the letter that he sent to the Aztec newspaper on March 27, 1999.
I have the original.
So you know what he said?
Yeah, I know exactly what he says, yeah. I don't believe he mentioned that he was from Roswell Army Airfield.
Once again, I'm reading from Jerry's review of the book. And it says, he writes that in April 1948, Reed's military team was dispatched for a crash cleanup, as Fred would describe it to me years later in 1999. I don't know who me is in this. The cleanup at Hart Canyon site was to be of anything tied to the craft and to a subsequent military presence at the site. So.
Okay, fine. What's not credible about Fred Reed? Everybody in the town of Aztec that was around up until his death would tell you, you know, he did Meals on Wheels, he was active in the community, helped the elderly with their taxes, unfortunately died of a massive heart attack. I don't know where you're getting he wasn't credible. How is he not credible?
Because of his claim to have been in the OSS in 1948?
You have documents to tell us he wasn't?
Yes, no,
well,
it didn't exist in
1948. CIA, yeah, it would have been OS whatever.
The Central Intelligence Group.
Right, right.
Any documentation that he was a member of the Central Intelligence Group?
No.
That's all I'm asking, all I'm saying.
I mentioned Fred in the book. I don't
yes, you
publish.
Do.
I don't publish his letter to Deborah Mayu. I talked to Fred on the phone. Suzanne and I literally had airline tickets to go fly out and interview him when Leanne Hathcock called and said Fred died of a massive heart attack on life flight last night en route to Albuquerque. So, I, you know, Fred is a person making a claim, but not somebody other than talking to on the phone I had time to really interview.
I understand that. I'm just talking about the story, the report that he told in the gave to the newspaper, and then what he said later.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I can't alter what they say, Kevin. I put it in the book as I know it.
Okay, you talked about a guy named George.
Mm-hmm.
Now we call him George.
Yes.
He retold his story to me during a cold winter night on the East
mm-hmm.
Coast when he retired. He explained to me that the Aztec recovery, as he put it, was coordinated directly out of Walker Air Force Base.
Yes.
That would be Roswell, of course.
Yes, it was. Formally, yeah.
So, that just seems to be, and again, I'm looking at your book, trying to piece all these things together as we chat here, which is...
Okay, let's keep in one thing about George now. George is well known by Mike Price, by Frank Warren, and Dennis Balthaser. We verified all his records. We verified that he is in the yearbook. So, you know, if he's making up the story...
Wait, he's in the Roswell yearbook?
Yes.
And we're going to have the answer to that Roswell yearbook and more. A lot of evidence to explore here. A lot of pros and cons with Scott Ramsey, Kevin Randall with Gene and Chris in
The Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you're hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
After 22 years of nutritional counseling, I've witnessed that a lot of illness can be linked to toxins and deficiencies combined. Improving your liver function and restoring your cells' ability to detoxify is essential to achieving radiant health. Listen to the real-world results of Doug and his wife after taking One World Way.
My name is Doug Didero. For years, I had an ongoing rash with itching around my eyes. This was due to metal dust particles landing on my face in the workplace. After being on One World Way for 2 weeks, I began to have a severe rash and itching sensation around my eyes. This rash and itching lasted for 5 weeks and is now 100% gone. Additionally, without extra exercise, I've also increased my muscle size and my wife has lost weight and gained a more attractive figure.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I'd like to thank both of you as we continue, Kevin Randall and Scott Ramsey, for first putting up with some connection issues, but also for being very civil to each other and trying to dig up the facts and understand what we know and don't know about the Aztec case. Now, Scott, you said he was in this particular yearbook. Was it a school yearbook?
No, it's the base yearbook.
The base yearbook. Okay, this is the base yearbook indicating personnel, and he was in there.
Yes.
Okay.
And what was his name, last name?
We're not going to release his name at this time. Warren and I are still working on a lot of things.
because I have a copy of the yearbook right here. But.
Oh, he's in there. And
why don't you go ahead and just do a private message to Kevin and get him the name so he can find it.
I'm not releasing his name to anybody until his two sons and George, and I agree to do that. George allowed me to release his name to Warren and to Balthazar and to Mike Price so we could verify his story.
Okay. All right. Yeah, fair enough. I mean, you have to honor all requests for anonymity, and I understand that.
I'm not going to argue with that point.
Yeah.
You know, I think the next field trip, and I mean this sincerely, I'd love for Kevin and his wife to meet us out in Aztec.
Well, first of all, my wife will not meet you in Aztec.
She's not a road traveler.
Well. She just does not like to travel.
Oh, okay.
Especially
I mean, you two were road warriors going to all these conferences.
Not with her.
Oh, okay.
She didn't go with me to Iraq either.
Well, I can understand that. That was a good call on her part.
Absolutely. Bad call on mine.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, you're back.
Well, let's move it along here.
I
think we've reached an impasse with this particular, you know, cul-de-sac here. I mean, obviously, if the guy is making claims, at some point, I would hope Scott would be able to back that up. And
absolutely.
I mean, important. That's a biggie. But my whole thing always goes back to Scully. And one of our questions at forum.theparacast.com is from Century, who's been quite an active participant over the last couple of years.
And he was a guest on the show, by the way.
And he was a guest on the show, exactly, 3 weeks ago, if I remember. Frank Scully, associated with the contactees and even planned a second UFO book, one on the UFO contact, reported by Daniel Fry, who brought you wonderful Brother Boko, if memory serves me correct. Negotiations failed. Fry came out with his own book. How do you feel Frank Scully's association with the contactees reflects on his ability to evaluate reliable sources? Let me throw that one over to you, Scott, and then Kevin.
Okay. Well, first of all, Frank Scully never wrote that book. That's a myth that's floated around. The second book he wrote first was Behind the Flying Saucers. The second one was, I got it right here. Anyway, the third book was a sequel to Behind the Flying Saucers. That I have the rough manuscript right here.
But that book never got published.
That never got published.
Okay.
That's correct. And then Silas Newton wrote a book with, it seems, and I'm going out on a limb here, but it seems like Scully helped him because there's a little bit of Frank Scully writing flair in it. But, you know, that's why we spent 5 days in Laramie. There's 33,000 documents in the Frank Scully collection. Mike Price and I got there Sunday night. We worked until they threw us out Friday. Came back with 916 copies of documents, of course. They have just about every book that he ever wrote, whether it was Flying Saucers or, you know, The Entertainment or whatever. It appears that that contact e-book, if it was written, it's not even in the catalog of what the Scully family
did. According to the question here from Century, the negotiations failed and Fry came out with his own book.
Chris, let me interrupt here, because I think I can end this discussion right now. Ed Ruppelt, who everybody holds up as the epitome of the UFO field, the guy that wrote the report on unidentified flying objects, a former chief of Project Blue Book.
Well, he coined the term.
He was going to write a book on contactees as well. So it was a subject of interest to a wide range of people.
Sure.
And the fact that Scully might have been entertaining writing a book about contactees, to me, strikes me as wholly irrelevant, just as the fact that Ruppelt was going to write a book about the contactees as well. So I think this is kind of a direction we don't need to go. I think that the answer is if you get in this field, you may find areas that interest you and that you just go off in that direction. I think Nick Redfern actually was talking about doing a book on contactees. And,
right.
And Nick, if I'm wrong, forgive me on that one, but I think...
Well, Greg Bishop should also be involved in that. He's really up to speed on some of the more bizarre examples. Well, I think Essentially's question basically reflected on a possible question about Scully being able to vet witnesses and evaluate reliable sources, as he put it in his question. You know, I'm just wondering here whether we're ever going to be able to really get to the bottom of this without some sort of smoking gun pre-Scully, revelation. I think anything short of that is going to be really difficult to conclusively prove anything. Even, you know, look at Roswell. We have so much interesting documentation concerning Roswell, at least references to it. At some point, I wanted to ask both of you about the Rich Reynolds article. that mentioned something about, you know, Aztec was actually a diversion to deflect attention away from Roswell, and mention of photographs that have been recently uncovered, which sounds very intriguing. Kevin, how do you respond to that? What do you think of that particular spin, that Aztec was real, but it was actually, you know, Roswell?
Back in the mid-1970s, 1974, I think, Robert Spencer Carr came out with a article or a statement that the Aztec UFO crash was real. He gave the names of five of the witnesses to Len Stringfield. For some reason, Len Stringfield's name eluded me for a moment. And Len Stringfield confirmed that he'd talked to those people, and they did talk about a crashed UFO. Then Mike McClellan did an article for Official UFO called the UFO Crash at Aztec is a Hoax. And he went through all the reasons he thought it was a hoax. They went back to Carr, and Carr said, well, I thought it was Aztec. It may have been somewhere else. And so you can look at all of that evolution of stuff and say, well, Carr was talking about witnesses from Roswell as opposed to Aztec, but in the mid-1970s, nobody was talking about a UFO crash at Roswell. Everybody was talking about the one event, alleged event, in Aztec, New Mexico. So everybody, if you talked about a UFO crash in New Mexico, everybody just assumed at that point it was Aztec, and it may well have been information that had filtered out about a UFO crash that came from the Roswell event. So I think that's how that thing sort of evolved. But that's kind of a thing that's not a new proposition. It's been something that's been floated around for a long time in the UFO community, that Aztec was really the cover for Roswell. And I think Barney Barnett's tale, which I know in Bill Moore's book, The Roswell Incident, was important to at least bringing alien creatures into the Roswell case. When Carl Flock and I had done some research into this, we came to the conclusion that Barnett was not talking about Roswell. The event he was talking about was sometime post-Roswell, and probably after Scully's book was mentioned. Scully's book, in fact, that information about the Aztec crash, I think, appeared in Time magazine in January 9th, 1950. If that's wrong, Scott, I'm sure can correct me.
So I think it was the True magazine article you're talking about.
There was a Time magazine article that came out in 1950. It was a column and a half in I think it was Time in January 9th, 1950, talking about this prior to the book being published.
We have Kevin Randall. It's Scott Ramsey with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
What does freedom mean to you? How about the freedom to take control of your own future? At eFoods Direct, we're again celebrating Food Freedom Month. In July, for every $329 you spend on our highly nutritious, great-tasting food, you will receive a $190 Patriot Pack free. For example, purchase a six-month supply and get three Patriot Packs free. The Patriot Pack is a 24-day supply of eFoods quick-fix, easy-to-store food, plus stove, fuel, and cook pot, all in an easy-to-carry bucket. Patriot Packs are the ideal grab-and-go emergency kit for your car or to have by the back door. Perfect for your cabin or camping trip this summer, or even simply to add more food to your supply free. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack with purchase. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. And remember, free shipping every day.
There are those curious about Bitcoins and those using and making money with Bitcoins. What are Bitcoins? A Bitcoin is the first decentralized currency that can be easily transferred from person to person over the Internet. No bank needed. This means lower fees, and accounts can never be frozen, limited, or closed. You are in control of your money. And the best part? You can start earning and making money with Bitcoins right away. No computer or expertise is required to earn money with Bitcoins, and a growing number of merchants now accept Bitcoins. Plus, they're easily exchanged for dollars, euros, and more. Learn more about the easiest, cheapest, most profitable way to enter the Bitcoin market and get paid every 2 weeks by one of the fastest-growing Bitcoin miners in the world at cloudhashing.com. Just like it sounds, cloudhashing.com. That's cloudhashing.com. We mine your business.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So in our previous segment, Kevin Randall refers to an article from Time Magazine.
My point was simply that there was a lot of information about this event sort of percolating through the society in 1950. And so that Carl and I came to the conclusion that Barnett was not talking about Roswell. He was talking about something that was later. And that because of the national interest in the events there in Aztec from the Time Magazine, for example, it was possible that he had kind of glommed on to that report. The idea that Aztec is a cover for Roswell has been floated for 30 years. And
Well, what about that other hint in the Reynolds piece at, I think, UFO Iconoclast a couple of months ago, where he alludes to recently uncovered photographs? What do you know about that?
I think you need to ask Rich Reynolds what he knows about that.
Wasn't that one of Tony Bregaglia that made that claim to Rich?
I'm not sure about that.
I believe it was my good friend, and I mean that sincerely, Nick Redfern, who talked about those photographs to Rich Reynolds.
No, interesting. Well, we'll have to ask Nick about that the next time he has a book out, which will probably be in a couple of weeks.
Tomorrow?
The guy's amazing.
By the way, if you're going to mention Rich Reynolds' UFO Iconoclast, can't you mention Kevin Randall's Different Perspective? I mean, gee whiz, guys.
Well, of course.
I'm right here on the show, and everybody's getting publicity but me. So I just thought,
well, Kevin, of course, all our longtime listeners know about the Different Perspective, I'm sure. But, you know, you can also self-promote as well. We're here actually doing a debate, and some sort of a debate, kind of a loose, informal debate here. But, Scott, what do you have to say to that, that these revelations that Kevin is alluding to were glommed onto as a result of the Scully context and the resulting articles that came out may have alluded to that? And where do you come down with Aztec being a plausible, deniable Roswell?
No, I think Aztec was its own separate event, approximately 8 months after Roswell, or whatever happened in both locations were completely separate events. I can't believe, and Kevin mentioned before the sheriff of Aztec didn't believe it, and neither did the editor of the paper. I'd like to see documentation on that too, Kevin, because Warren and I have some things we've never released about what Boer said. And one of the sheriffs, and in that time frame, you had four guys that rotated the sheriff's position. Don Brown is still alive, or at least a few months ago he was still alive. The Sullivans have since passed. I don't know if I would take that comment the sheriffs didn't believe a flying saucer went down in Hart Canyon.
That comes from Carl Lorenzen in her April Bulletin.
Yes,
also comes from Mike McClellan in his UFO crash at Aztec. The UFO crash in Aztec in 1948 is a hoax, or however, that long involved title of his. And it seems that McClellan did talk to both the newspaper editor and the two of the sheriffs about that. So
she did?
With that information. Carl Lorenzen?
Yes, she did. And she talked to Danny Sullivan, and she talked to him on a Friday night, and she was not in Aztec, but the Sullivans lived south of Aztec anyway. It's Sullivan Road. The Sullivan Ranch is still there. He told her exactly that he was not the sheriff at the time and was not comfortable about talking about it. She took that as nothing happened. And I believe her husband was with her on that trip.
That would be Jim Lorenzen.
Yeah. The Sullivan family does not have any recall of the Sullivans telling her flat out that nothing happened. Danny Sullivan said, I was not the sheriff, and I don't feel comfortable about talking about it because I wasn't the sheriff.
Which could be construed that he wasn't the sheriff, so he's not comfortable talking about it, not that something happened.
That's correct.
But I'm just saying the Lorenzens did interview these people, and that was the response they got.
Well, but that's not quite the response they got, and I think that's a road trip where we can sit down with the Sullivans and talk to them.
That's what Carl Lorenzen reported.
I know what she reported. I'm questioning what she reported and whether the family agrees with it. And like I said, Don Brown's still alive. Well, going back a few months ago, he was still alive.
Wow, he must be getting up there.
Yeah, he is.
I don't want to say anything negative about the credibility of Jim and Coral Lorenzen. I assume they were both credible and honest, although I did have my run-ins with Mrs. Lorenzen over the years for very silly reasons.
And can I guess what those run-ins were about?
Feel free.
Hey,
what do you think they were
Apple
about?
Files. I know who has them sitting there
don't
gathering dust in a garage in some storage unit somewhere.
No, guys, that wasn't what I had a run-in with her about. It was something that goes back to my teenage years. And I'll leave it at that right now. Go ahead.
Oh, you were a teenager at one point.
Yes, some people don't believe that. Some people fervently say that Gene was never a teenager. Gene is really some kind of entity from another planet. And, you know, I may plead guilty, but then people will start rumors on Twitter.
But when it comes to the Apro files, there's some real gems in there. And, I'm going to make it my life's mission to get them to give me the combination on the lock and the storage unit. I know exactly who has it, and it's really been irking me for a while. There's a lot of good stuff in there, including the investigation that Kevin is talking about.
Can I add something from that same time frame of the Sullivans and Don Brown and the sheriffs and George Bauer from the Aztec Independent? Just a few years back, Hank Knowlton passed away, and Hank was, and the family, the Knowlton family still is, one of the big pillars of the community. And Hank contacted me in the mid-2000s and said, boy, you know, I really got a problem with the Aztec story because I owned part of the crash site in 48 when that happened. He said, I'm not saying nothing happened out there. That story has been floating for years, but it didn't happen in March of 48 because I owned the land back then. Well, when a Knowlton says that, you listen because they're, like I said, they're the pillar of the community. Long story short, next trip out, Suzanne and I pulled the real estate records, and he had told us he bought it from High Dunning, H.D. Dunning, that owned the ranch right next to it. Between the two of them, they almost owned the entire crash site except for a sliver of BLM land. And Suzanne and I went and pulled the deeds, and sure enough, Hank Knowlton did own it, but not until May 17th, 1953, 5 years later. And I presented that to Hank, and he said, well, okay, let me think about that. And, you know, family members got involved and said, yeah, you're right. When you start talking to people, and I know, Kevin, you've experienced this with Roswell, 60-some years, 50-some years, and let's look at our own selves, what we can and can't remember. It gets very, it's easy for somebody to say, yes, they remember it, or no, they don't remember it. And that's why we have to rely on rent receipts and utility records and property transfers, because my memory's no better than anybody else's either. But that all was in that same time frame back then.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's important to write everything down. I've been saying that like a broken record for years on this show. Mm-hmm. But, well, you know, where do we take it from there? I mean, where do we take this from here, Scott? What do you have on your burner, front burner, that's going to lead you to that smoking gun information? Do you think there's enough time? Do you think there's a smoking gun person still alive? I mean, what's your thinking right now?
We have 30 seconds before I have to do the break, guys, so just keep the beginning of the answer short, Scott, and we'll continue in the next segment. Go ahead, please.
Sure. We're constantly following new leads since the book came out, and since Suzanne and I spent 2 weeks out there in March, we got some very good leads.
But I think I have a question about that, which would be, how, 65 years later, can you get any more leads about this case? Shouldn't the trail be pretty cold by now? The book is The Aztec Incident, by the way. And we have one of the authors, Scott Ramsey, with us, who's done this for many years to bring that book together. Kevin Randall joining us on the skeptic side of this particular discussion. With Gene and Chris, you're in
The Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Raising your own chickens for food is great, but how will you get them ready for the dinner table? Do it the fast and easy way with a power plucker from PowerPlucker.com. The power plucker is a simple attachment that works with a power drill and removes feathers in a flash. Whether you're a homesteader or a bird hunter, you'll save time and money, and we guarantee you'll love it. Order right now at PowerPlucker.com and receive free shipping. PowerPlucker.com, the only drill-powered poultry plucker.
When you need it the most, will your generator, power equipment, or vehicle be ready? Gas and diesel fuels go bad quickly when stored, and more than half of generator failures during disasters occur as a result of expired fuel. PRI fuel stabilizers keep your fuel fresh for when you need it most. Nuclear power stations, emergency service providers, and ships at sea rely on PRI fuel stabilizers. And you can too. Call 888-776-9373 or visit PRIproducts.com to find the dealer nearest you.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, the great debate with Kevin Randall and Scott Ramsey on the Aztec New Mexico UFO crash of 1948. So the question on the table, Scott Ramsey, is you're still studying this, but we're talking about the problem that I'm sure Kevin and his crew have with Roswell, and that is we're talking about something 65 years old. How do we get more evidence?
It's a huge problem. It was a huge problem in the late 80s. You know, I was only 40 years away from, you know, the alleged date. Suzanne and I, well, after I saw Eugene in Phoenix, I met Suzanne up in the Four Corners. We were up there, did two book signings, two lectures, not expecting it, but we got some solid leads, very solid leads. One was a retired ranch hand that worked for one of the ranchers, and he came forward and told us things that we never put in the book because we were waiting for somebody like him to come forward. Is it a smoking gun? No, it's not a smoking gun. It's more circumstantial evidence, which most of these UFO cases, flying saucer cases, are. I got a call from a gentleman that was with the Atomic Energy Commission and retired and told of an incident. Now, he can't confirm whether it was 48 or 49, but he was there from 48, 49, and 50 before he was moved down to Kirkland and was ran security at the Sandia. There's always good leads coming out, but you gotta separate the ones that are gonna consume a lot of time and money and what are you gonna yield, but you still have to collect them and you still have to look at each one. So I don't know. Your chance of getting a first-hand witness like Doug Nolan or Ken Farley are few and far between. We're racing the clock, so that makes it very difficult.
Yeah, and the same holds true for Roswell, as I'm sure Ken can attest.
Yeah, I mean, I was a young kid when Kecksburg happened, living in Pittsburgh. Stayed up late to watch everything on the news. That was my first introduction and interest in whatever the phenomenon is. And I know what Stan Gordon goes through to this day trying to find people, but, you know.
Stan is an unsung hero, boy.
Well, it's like trying to be a homicide detective and solving a murder case in L.A. when you're living in New York. You know, it's difficult.
Yeah.
And add 40, 50, 60 years to it, it makes it all the more difficult.
Well, that raises a serious question before we get on to the other issues, Scott, and that is, at what point do we say this is the cold case that we're never going to solve and move on? Can we just keep hoping that more evidence will come and that maybe one of those pieces of evidence will be so solid that nobody, not even Kevin Randall or anyone else skeptical of this case, can dispute it?
Let's be careful on bending my name about here.
Okay.
You know, so skeptical that even Kevin Randall would agree?
I mean, well, you're very skeptical of this case.
Absolutely, but this one specific case, and I just don't like being cast in the role of the skeptic. You know,
we're not trying to paint you with a broad brush, my friend. We're just trying to put you in the position.
Some conversations myself, but that's,
pardon me?
I said I would welcome being called a skeptic in a lot of conversations in this topic, but in this particular case, I mean, this is a very, you know, I always thought when I first heard about Aztec, I always heard that, you know, we really can't tell if this was real or a hoax. And for years I didn't really pay attention to it until Scott's work. And then all of a sudden it seems like, you know, this thing grew legs. And there is some pretty interesting circumstantial evidence that does support something happened there. I have a question from Burnt State, which basically geared for New Mexico. And he asks, of the three most interesting early New Mexico events, the Roswell crash, the Aztec crash, and the Farmington Armada, which I've always thought is an important case, which do you feel is the most compelling case that has the most verifiable evidence and reliable witnesses in both your opinions? Kevin, you want to start this one?
I will confess that I am not completely conversant in the Farmington case. I know it was a big armada that was seen in, 1950? And I say that just to prove that I at least know something about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was mainly just an observation by people on the ground. I mean, lots of people on the ground, but mainly an observation. So you move that to a side because it was simply what people saw.
Yeah, it was a simple flyover, and you just have witnesses,
yes.
Paper accounts. There's law enforcement reports. There's all sorts of interesting documentation about it. But, again, it's like trying to document a mosquito bite, you know, a mosquito flying by versus a bite. You know, if it flies by, bit. So
it was mentioned in the newspapers at the time and all of that sort of thing.
Right. So you come down on Roswell as being the most interesting early New Mexico event then.
I think so, simply because of the number of witnesses and the documentation that we've been able to uncover.
Right.
It clearly was reported in the newspapers. It was clearly debunked in the newspapers. There's FBI documents from that specific day. There's other documentation circulating that talks about that. And we have some very high-level witnesses, including general officers who have talked about that, a number of general officers, number of full colonels, a number of lieutenant colonels who don't impress me much anymore because lieutenant colonels are just lieutenant colonels. But, I mean, a lot of high-ranking people who document it. We were able to find the witnesses, a lot of the witnesses based on the yearbook that was published by Walter Hott. So we have some very, very compelling, very good documentation. So if I was to rank the three cases, it would be, of course, Roswell 1, Farmington 2, and Aztec 3, which I'm sure Scott won't agree with, but that's the way I'd rank them.
Well, no, I think they're all important, Kevin. I really do. A couple of years back, Suzanne and I weren't involved in the Aztec symposium the last 4 or 5 years. It went a different direction, but prior to that, 1 year, we invited the people listed on the front page of the Farmington Daily Times to attend. And kind of a class reunion, or not a class reunion, but a armada reunion. It was everybody that was listed in the article that was quoted, with the only exception of Andy Andrews, the highway patrolman. He had since passed. It was interesting listening to these people retell the story and comparing it with the front page. I have the original cut sheet that was typed and then put in the little tube that was shot upstairs to the second, third floor at the Daily Times, where then they made that the headline. And it was over 2,500 people saw these objects. That's a lot of people. That's according to the Daily Times, by the way.
And you get no argument from me.
Yeah. It was March 7th.
Interesting. Maybe it was a really late arriving search party.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't think, but the level of flying saucer or whatever, unidentified flying phenomena, is still huge and prevalent to this day. The emails I get, San Juan County Sheriff's Department, Highway,
all the way over to the San Luis Valley, all the way over to Lake
Powell. And I'm not, you know, we have a joke
Navajo
here. You know, and we have a joke here. It's not the town drunk sending these to me. These are, you know, incompetence. You know, the San Juan Police Department, Aztec Police Department, members of Los Alamos.
You know, both you guys, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the concept that some sort of civilization with exalted, you know, exotic technology could have that technology to get them all the way light years to here and then crash.
to me, it sounds like a Monty Python screenplay or something. There's just something about that I have never been able to reconcile.
Did you ever think, though, Chris, that even on these other planets, these other civilizations, these other star systems, that they don't have competitive bidding to build spaceships? And maybe one of those companies, you know, like the Ferengi in Star Trek,
you know,
they made such a deal.
Be a bad joke.
They made a deal.
Yeah, with the Ferengi.
And, the thing didn't hold up. Under a couple of interstellar trips, it's gone.
Radar brought it down. Or lightning.
Oh, right.
Well, I was going to say it was built by the lowest bidder, which caused
same
trouble.
Difference.
But the other thing is, if we assume that even though they have a superior technology to ours, they still make mistakes, and the craft are still flown by beings that are not perfect. Ergo, they make mistakes. So if somebody pushed the wrong button, or you have a cascade of events that one little thing didn't happen to bring it down, but it was a
little
cascade.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's the assumption. We have to suspend our disbelief and go in that direction, definitely. And it's, you know, obviously in the realm of possibility, but I've just never been able to reconcile that to myself. I mean, it's like the ultimate Homer Simpson moment, you know, to come all the way the long distances, you know, light years and light years, potentially hundreds of light years.
Hundreds of light years. We don't know where they come from.
I don't think they come from out there, actually. I think they're already here. But, that's something that's been very difficult for me to, you know, when it comes to the subject of crashed UFOs, it's like studying an ant farm and accidentally stubbing your face at the bottom of the ant farm. There's just something about it. I don't know. Gene, help me out here.
We need to, first of all, help out our sponsors, and then we'll figure that out. We've got Kevin Randall and Scott Ramsey with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.